And greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered with each one. Let's just bow again for a word of prayer. As Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We just thank you for the gathering of the saints. Father, thank you for what we already heard. Thank you for your power, the way you work in hearts and lives of men. Father, we just ask that you would be here among us. Be with me and be with a few thoughts I have. Father, we pray that your sheep could be fed this morning, and that your word could go forth, and that I could just be invisible, and that only you could be seen, Father. Lord, we just thank you and praise you and bless you in your name. Amen. Thank you for that song. I'd like to read a little bit that song, 660. Are you longing for the fullness of the blessing of the Lord in your heart and life today? Claim the promise of your Father, come according to his word in the blessed old time way. Bring your empty earthen vessels clean through Jesus' precious blood. Come ye needy one and all. And in humble consecration, wait before the throne of God till the Holy Ghost shall fall. Like the cruse of oil unfailing is his grace forevermore, and his love unchanging still. And according to his promise, with the Holy Ghost in power, he will every vessel fill. That's my prayer in my heart this morning, that our lives could be filled with his blessing and his power and his spirit here today. So you can keep me in your prayers. Just want to thank each one that shared. I was very blessed already this morning, Dad, with what you shared, and John. It's a give me a confirmation of what I have to share here this morning. And I was very blessed. Very blessed and thankful. It's the way God works. So let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Luke 8. Luke chapter 8. We'll begin reading in verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. And there was there an herd of swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter in, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went in and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils, was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came in a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. So, as I was asked to share, this just kept going through my mind, account here. The title this morning is The Great Physician. And I'd like to go down through here and expound a little bit on, we'll begin here at verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. How are we? How are our hearts this morning? Are we waiting with anticipation for Jesus' return? Are we? It gives the picture of anticipation. They were waiting for him. They were looking for him. They couldn't see him soon enough. That's a beautiful picture. What if Jesus would show up today? What if he would come and walk in here today? Would we be excited to see him, or would we feel a little uneasy and want to go hide or something? How would we feel? I think that we can ask ourselves that question. That gives us a picture of where we are with him. We know he's coming back soon. Now is the time to prepare. So we go on here to verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue and fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. We see Jairus here. He was a ruler of the synagogue. And picture Jairus. Put myself in his shoes. His daughter was dying. His daughter was sick and lay dying. And I don't know, it doesn't give us a lot here of what his journey was, but we can only imagine what all he tried, where all he went to try to help his daughter. And that journey led him to come to the end of himself. And I believe that he had to, it wasn't particularly that he probably didn't really want to be seen kneeling in front of Jesus as a ruler of the synagogue. But he came to the place where he didn't care. He didn't care what others thought. He knew that Jesus could heal his daughter, and he knew that that was the only answer, that was the only option. And he came to the place of full surrender, and he came and kneeled at Jesus' feet and besought him. He begged him, entreated for him to come heal his daughter. I don't know, I'd be curious to know how many fathers there are with 12-year-old daughters here today, but I know that I'm just a young father, and just the thought of a child, my child being laying sick is about more than I could handle, being sick on the deathbed. It says in verse 42, it was a 12-year-old, he only had one daughter. It was his only daughter. We don't know if he had other children, but it was his only daughter. She lay dying. That even adds more to the picture, having an only child there. So Jesus, Jesus headed that way, but as gives a picture there that he headed to Jairus' house, the people thronged him. They were the multitude was great, and they were thronging. They were very tight. There was a lot of attention wanted there. And here we have this picture of this woman, a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. So here we have another picture. We have a woman that had an issue for 12 years. And it says that she tried everything. She spent all her living. And in Mark 5:26 says that and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and nothing, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So not only did she spend all her living for 12 years looking for help, it actually grew worse instead of getting better. So she too, we see, had come to the end of herself and willing to do whatever it takes to be healed. And she came up behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood was stanched. She was immediately healed. Gives the picture, the border of his garment. Just the border, just the bottom part of his clothes. I want to turn us now, our thoughts, to the faith that this woman had. It makes my faith look small. She had faith that if she would touch just the border of his garment, she could be healed. And you can picture her digging through the crowd, just trying to just touch the border of his clothes. It's a beautiful picture, and she was healed immediately. We see there that Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me?" An amazing Father we have, and we know that he knew probably what was going on. He definitely did. He knew who it was, but he called to attention this woman. Our Father knows everything about each one of us all the time. We will never hide anything from Him. So I picture Jonah on the ship, trying to flee, and we know the outcome. We can never hide anything from Him, and it seems sometimes like we forget that a little bit. We picture we're here with other men, and we feel like we can hide things sometimes, and that's a lie from the devil. The Bible says what is hidden secret will be shouted on the housetops, or something in that line. For nothing is secret that shall, Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. And then Luke, in verse 47, we see that the woman saw that she was not hid. She came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. She declared God's work in her life. And we see there that Jesus rewarded her faith. And he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." How are we doing? How is our faith doing? How is my faith doing? Do I have faith? Do we have faith that God can see us through? I'd like to take us to verse 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, He answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came to the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father of the mother, and the father and the mother of the maiden. We see there, fear not, believe only. Fear is what keeps us from prospering. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. As I looked into this a bit, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I understand, possibly back in the days, they hired mourners and wailers when someone died. And so as I picture this, for someone to truly be mourning and then laughing doesn't make a lot of sense. So I have to wonder if they were hired in, maybe. Jeremiah 9, we'll read Jeremiah 9, 17 through 20. This is kind of where my thoughts come from. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come." And cunning there means a skillful wailing women, is what I gathered. "And let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids may gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentation." So I don't know, I could be, that was just an interesting side note there that I found. I could be, if I'm wrong on that, please correct me. I'd like to hear your thoughts there. So we see here, we go on, that Jesus, he rose this maid from the dead. He took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she rose, and straightway commanded to give her meat. So we see another miracle here from the great physician. As I look at, and I'm just barely going to touch on this today. There's so many accounts of where Jesus healed and touched, and it's just amazing as we read his life. Truly, he was the great physician. I'd like to take us to another account here in Luke 6. Luke 6:6. "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that when he entered into the synagogue and taught, there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day." They were always trying to get him, that they might find an accusation against him. "But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had a withered hand, Rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. And when Jesus, then said Jesus unto him, I will ask you one thing, is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another, that what they might do to Jesus." So we have here another account. I'd like to tie these together a bit and look here. We see he stretched forth his hand and it was made whole. His hand was withered. It was dried out. It had lost its life, its freshness, its vitality. How does this apply to us today in our spiritual life? Are we losing this time? It's easy in this world. Are we losing our zeal? Are we losing our freshness? Are we losing our first love? Are we feeling dry? Is our hand withering? We don't know why he had a withered hand. I couldn't, maybe someone here does, but I couldn't find much. If it was from birth or something that happened in an accident. But Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. And his hand was made whole. And we see there immediately following that the ones there in the synagogue were filled with madness, the leaders, what they might do with Jesus. Jealousy crept in immediately. They were jealous that Jesus had the power to heal. They were jealous of the people that followed him, the following he had. And they were just full of jealousy and envy and all kinds of things. They were out to get him in every turn. You know, we have that in our life sometimes. We see, we live among each other, and there tends to be real challenges. Life is real, and there's people that we see. If we see our brother prosper, what do we do when we see our brother prosper? Do we struggle with jealousy? Do we try everything to take him down, or do we encourage him and help him along? Now, I feel we live in this society where we have everything we could ever dream of. Just drive down the road. If you don't have it, drive down the road and go through the drive-thru and get it. And we lose sight of God's power and strength. And we, without realizing it, we begin to rely on the things of this world and our own life. And slowly we... like a frog, we can become lukewarm, as Dad spoke about this morning. It slowly cooks us. So I just like to bring our attention, especially it's needed in my life this morning. How are we doing? As we heard John's opening as well there, which fish are we? Which group of fish are we in? One, two, three, or four. We're there somewhere. Have we veered off into eating junk food? Are you struggling with bitterness this morning? Is there someone that has wronged you? Maybe even someone in the brotherhood. Maybe someone, a close friend. Or I don't know how you find yourself today, but there's real things that we face in life. Life is real. I'd just like to encourage us that we have the great physician at an arm's length, all the time, 24 hours a day. He is waiting and ready to heal us, to restore us. If we will stretch forth our hand and touch the hem of his garment, come to Jesus. We have each of us face real things. And I have to think, many of you probably have a mountain you're facing right now. What is that mountain? You know what it is. Come to Jesus and receive His power and strength and live in that. And then the mountains go away. Keep your eye on Jesus. No one else has the power and strength. I have to think just like to continue to try to make this a little more practical. We have the fathers here, including myself. We have families to raise for the Lord. Have a living to make supply for our families. So there's food to put on the table. Some of you have responsibilities in the church. Life is full and busy. We run hither and yon. It gets hectic at times and things go wrong and the rubber meets the road. How can we remember in those frustrating moments that the power of God is only an arm's length away? All we need to do is stretch forth our hand in faith, knowing God has the power and strength to help us through. We have mothers, many dear mothers, have a house to keep, children to train, school to teach, yard needs mowed again, garden needs planted, laundry needs washed, maybe supper to deliver to a family, and maybe your husband calls you and needs you to run an errand for him again. Life is real. And I'd just like us to remember, Jesus is waiting with all the power and strength that we need to help us through. It's so easy we get caught up and we forget. I forget that Jesus is there, and we take things in our own hands, and then it gets worse. My mind went to each one here, the young people. I'm still a young person, but those can be challenging years. But God can help through those times as well. You might have several jobs. You might be life is busy, helping in every way. You might have visions and dreams for your future, maybe future partner or future occupation, and maybe things aren't going the way you envisioned. Maybe someone is in your way. Maybe you have a broken heart. Maybe you have some hurts in your life. Maybe you're bitter. You're bitter at someone, maybe some of the leaders in the church, or maybe your parents. Maybe you've never been born from above. Maybe you've never been born from above. I would just like to invite each one here today, no matter what stage of life you're in or where you find yourself, come to Jesus and touch the hem of His garment. Stretch forth your hand and be made whole. He is waiting. He is waiting and willing and waiting to help. If you will only humble yourself and come to the end of yourself and don't worry about what anyone else thinks, after all, will your friends be there on Judgment Day when you stand before God? You have the responsibility of God. You will be responsible for your own life on Judgment Day. Stretch forth your hand and touch his garment. I want this to be encouraging and a blessing to each one, and just want to encourage you. You're all been such a blessing to us. And the next thing I'd like to look at here is after many of the people that Jesus healed, after they were healed, what do we see that happened? Many of them went and told everyone how great a things God did in their hearts and lives. What are we doing with what God has given us? Are we encouraging others? Are we sharing the word? It's a need I have in my own life. Luke 8:34 talks about where he cast the demons out of the man and they went into the swine. And it says they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. There's many other accounts that talk of them, different ones that Jesus healed. They went and proclaimed it to everyone that they could see and talk to. So I would just like to encourage us that to be busy. First, it's our own lives, and then it's the lives of others. To be busy about God's kingdom. I was just so blessed and thankful with what all was shared this morning. My mind went to all the things we heard, and the conversions, and the things that God did. And I just couldn't help but think of the great physician and the power that he has to heal. And we just praise God and give him all the honor and glory. I'd like to read a song here. I don't know. I'm not sure if we know it or not. We could maybe sing it if we do. Song number 233. I'd like to just leave us with this song. And I'll just read through it here. When light divine had touched the hills by slumbering Galilee, the golden wave then rolled afar towards the western sea. And when the men had knowledge of the Holy One of God, they journeyed forth through all the land and spread his fame abroad. O sing of the loving one, O sing of the healing one. Oh, sing of the mighty one, he's just the same today. And when they brought the suffering ones, the lowly and the dear, and laid them at the healer's feet from far away and near, They bent before the wondrous one and earnestly besought that they might only touch the hem around his garment wrought. He heard the prayer and gave the will and strength to touch the hem, and gave the faith, and virtue flowed from him and healed them. For everyone whose feeblest touch thus met the Savior's power rose up in perfect health and strength in that accepted hour. O tender one, O mighty one, who never sent away the sinner or the sufferer, thou art the same today, the same in love, the same in power, and thou art waiting still to heal the multitudes that come, yea, whosoever will. O sing of the loving one, O sing of the healing one, O sing of the mighty one, he's just the same today. If we come to him in humbleness, he will never send us away. He's always there to help us. Stretch forth thy hand and touch the hem of his garment. May God bless you all.